What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the new iteration of Click or Skip, where we give you the short and sweet spoiler and non-spoiler reviews on the latest and greatest of popular movies and shows. Just a reminder to the newcomers here, we give you a short non-spoiler review first, followed by if, of course, we would recommend clicking or skipping, and then, of course, we head into a heavy spoiler review after that. So, this week, we are going to be talking about Arcane, the new Netflix series from Riot Games. This episode, we're actually going to be doing slightly differently because it dropped three episodes. It has a very weird release schedule, especially for Netflix. It's doing three episodes this week that just dropped yesterday, and then it's doing another three episodes next week, and then another three episodes the week after that, and that ends it up. So it's going to basically three arcs. And I believe there's going to be time skips in between. So let's go ahead and kick it off with the spoiler-free review now. So this first of all, I guess, let me go ahead and tell you, this series for me means a lot because I've been a League of Legends fan since basically inception, like its very first year. So this is over 10 years now of me being a fan of this series, a diehard fan. I know the lore of this series to an absurd degree, not as many as much as some others. There are literally lore masters for this game, but just to put it in context, I have the lore book. I've read through it all. I've read through all of the comics that they've introduced through Marvel. Marvel has a comic line with them. It's very good, by the way. I highly recommend it. So lore has been a big piece of League of Legends for a long time, and it's super in-depth, and it's honestly one of the most beautiful lore renderings I've ever seen in my entire life whenever it comes to bringing a world alive. It's quite insane, actually, how well they do it, because originally, whenever the game launched, it had a very loose lore that was kind of thrown together. 3 years later or so, they started to redo everything and remaster it, and it became just this amazing, ever-growing thing. But yeah, so here we are. We finally have this released after, I think they announced it 2 years ago, I want to say. And it's finally here, and I've been waiting forever. And let me tell you what, there's very few times when I have high standards for things, and especially things that I really care about. I hype it up a lot in my mind, and rarely does it meet the expectations. But in this circumstance, it not only meets the expectations, it exceeds the expectations. I am not only someone that's very critical about it, obviously, because I do care about the lore so much and I know it so well, but, you know, it just, as I mentioned before, it just means a lot to me. And the way they were able to weave this story was so good. And you know, it didn't have a small runtime, granted, but it was not incredibly long, and how much they were able to really push through in that short amount of time of three episodes for this kind of mini arc, this sub arc, is actually quite insane, especially introducing all these new characters and making you believe all of these bonds that they have, because they're quite deep, really. But yeah, and introduce you to totally new characters that we haven't seen before as well, which I was pleasantly surprised by. So, you know, I don't want to spoil anything. Obviously, this is the non-spoiler section, but let me just tell you right now, there's going to be more of a very long spoiler section for this one, because it's three episodes that we're going to cover, and, you know, I want to talk about it, basically. So this episode in particular will be a little bit longer in the spoiler section, but I'm going to keep it fairly short for this one. But yeah, bottom line, the art style for this is one of the first things that really stands out to anyone that watches it. It's this beautiful kind of watercolor-like design. It's by this French animation studio called Fortiche, I think it's called. It's hard to pronounce, but I'm not good at other languages, but that's how it sounds to me. But it's a, you know, particular art style that's developed by them that they've used before in other cinematics for League of Legends, so it's not foreign to me, but they do such a good job, and its rendering is insane, and it really helps express a lot of the character, because there's certain things, like, you know, in tons of different animation styles that you can relay with characters that you wouldn't be able to do in live action, honestly. It's quite impressive. And with a particular style like this, you can really feel everything that the characters are going through. You can really exaggerate lighting, especially. The scenery is a big thing for this. Really, like, there's a particular scene where it kind of spans out and shows you under city, Zaun, whenever the elevator's going down from Piltover. And it's just amazing to see. And one of the things that I really appreciate was that this series is actually very dark. It's brutal in many cases, which is something I wasn't expecting, because although they do, like, you know, curse and stuff like that in the actual game, I thought they were going to be keeping it, you know, as more of an entry, more of a, you know, PG-13 scenario. That's not really what I would describe for this in actuality. Like, I would definitely say, like, you know, maybe hard R rated. There was definitely cursing. There was suicide, even, like, you know, portrayals of suicide, I want to say. Really low, terrible situations for people to be in, prostitution, lots of, you know, like, cross-dressing, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like, it's just a city that is kind of what you would imagine, like, a really, like, dark, lawless city would kind of be. And they did a great job at portraying that. You really felt like you were there, and the art style complements that, to the nines. So that's, you know, I can't speak enough about that. That is just, it really helps bring you into the world and immerses you in it. Some of the other things that I want to talk about, I guess, would be just the character development. Between, there's, you know, the story focuses on these two characters, Vi and Jinx, which, what we now know, whenever she was younger, she was referred to as Powder. It kind of tells you how she gets her nickname later on as Jinx, but the story really revolves around these two characters, and these characters have been beloved characters of League for a long time. There was actually debate for a long time whether they were actually sisters, although it was hinted at, but it's been canonized now for literally about a year that they actually officially came out and said that they were, and this story really dives into that, and they do it in such a great way. They really make you believe this bond between them, and the circumstances of the city itself, where they find themselves, really help drive home this kind of group of orphans and, you know, the protector of this group, and even to the extent of the city, and the dynamics at play between basically the social classes. There's so much that goes on here, because it's not just an intimate character portrayal, and relationship. It has social and political intrigue, a lot of it, actually. And it's a crime thriller. It's all of these things, like, beautifully rolled into one. It does just a fantastic job of really fulfilling all of those archetypes. So it's hard to keep going into the story much more than that, particularly with this series, without spoiling a lot of things. So from there, I just want to leave it off as, you know, of course, would I click or skip it? This is a click, 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 click. This is one of the best series I've ever seen in my life. Honestly, I'm trying to not be biased here, because I feel like I'm inherently biased whenever it comes to this show. But I can honestly say that I think I'm being objective and giving it a 10 out of 10. This is one of the few things that I would ever give a 10 out of 10. It was just done so well, and there's only, and I am a nitpicker, there's only one tiny little thing that happened that I would have tweaked. I wouldn't even say, like, totally changed, just tweaked. But outside of that, literal perfection and everything else. So, and I can't tell you enough how much that is not the case for almost everything that I watch. So, yeah, absolutely, you need to watch this. Bottom line, I don't care if you're a fan of League of Legends or not. You don't need to be. The story introduces you to all these characters in a very loving way, so that you don't need all of the context that a lot of us do have when watching it. So definitely watch it. Once again, the next three episodes are coming a week from now, basically. So, you know, we'll have all the episodes in a total of 3 weeks. And I'm just so excited for the next part of it. So definitely check it out. I'll be doing another review whenever that happens for the next three. And yeah, we will talk about it then. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and start the music now. 15 seconds you have to get out, and then I'm going right into the spoiler. Perfect. So, for those of you that stuck around, thank you very much. And let's talk about some awesome League of Legends stuff. So, this series was, as I mentioned before, insane to me. There's so much to talk about here. I don't really know the best way to go about it because it was 3 episodes and I don't want it to be incredibly long. So I'm going to just give you kind of like the high points that I want to talk about for each episode. I feel like that's the best way to go about it. So starting with the first episode, one thing that I think was really important is the relationship that they have with Vander. That's basically the crux of the first episode in general. You get to really see the dynamic between the orphans that they have and their relation to Vander and the role that he fills to them. You know, this is, Vander's a character that potentially is someone that we don't know in League, at least in this version, but we're now speculating, at least I certainly am. I'm like 99% sure that he is a character in League, and I'll tell you who I think he is kind of at the end. But for right now, he fills this father figure to the orphans, especially to Vi. He has a very close relationship to Vi, and you can tell that she really looks up to him and also realizes the burden that he bears as kind of the godfather of the city, the reluctant godfather of the city, I would say, after, you know, what we saw was kind of a war between Zahn and Piltover. And so the dynamic that they have between these characters, you could tell Vi is friends with Milo and Clagger. They all respect each other and everything like that. But you could tell Powder, aka Jinx, is this kind of character that's really looked down upon by everyone except for Vi and Vander. Vi is very much acts like the big sister that she is and should be to Jinx at this point. And you know, everyone even calls her Jinx. The other orphans even call her Jinx at a couple different points because she messes up quite a bit. And this kind of sets the scene for this emotional issue that she has. You know, she's been through obviously a lot of traumatic experiences, watching her parents die, this whole war thing behind her, growing up on the streets as an orphan basically, and you know, being constantly looked down on as this really unfortunate thing by even those that are closest to her. But she's always had this beacon of hope and safety and love, which is Vi, especially followed by Vander. And that kind of really sets the scene for the things that happen later on. So the first episode is really about that, as far as, you know, the Jinx and Vi story. But we also have, on the other side of the city, in Piltover, we have this other very important relationship that is kind of put into play, which is Victor and Jace. So you really get to meet Jace here, and Jace is a very important character in League of Legends. And you're kind of introduced to him as this character that is, oh, actually, you know what, I think he comes in for the second episode, actually. The second episode actually starts off with showing what happened on the other side of the door. So let's just move ahead to the second story, or the second episode rather. Second episode is a lot about Jace and basically he's living out this noble house. There's obviously a class structure here put in place for Piltover, which is very important to the level of like privileges basically that Piltover has compared to Zahn, which is, you know, just a lawless undercity of, you know, bad things basically. But with Jace, he kind of has this obsession with making these arcane crystals, these magical crystals, work, utilizing magic and combining it with what Piltover is all about, which is technology and progression, which is something that's very taboo there because of something that happened in the history of League of Legends, or Runeterra, the name of the world, basically. And that is the Rune Wars, which is something that was magic derived and caused chaos all around Runeterra. And you know, it's been done for a long time now, but there are lots of, you know, creatures and people through magical means or otherwise that actually are still alive that have witnessed it. Heimerdinger being one of these people. And you could tell Heimerdinger has a like very obvious opposition to the use of magic being brought into play, being used by humans. And I think that's important to create that distinction, because it's specifically humans that he has an issue with using magic, because he feels that humans will take something and run with it and they don't know when to stop. And I mean, because that's literally happened before in the history, and that's caused a lot of issues. And so he really doesn't want that in human hands. So he really does everything he can to try to keep that from happening. So, although he doesn't want to ultimately hurt Jace, because he knows that Jace is a, you know, promising individual, and what will be a great contributor to the society, he doesn't want magic to be used. So, you know, Jace is put on trial for what happened, using this, you know, unstable technology, basically. And it kind of outlays the, whenever he goes into the trial, it kind of shows you just the length, or I guess the passion that he has for, you know, using this magic and going to any lengths, basically, to use it or otherwise in his mind, which we soon find out after he's expelled from the academic society, because he basically refuses to say, I won't work with magic anymore, or wouldn't stop with this kind of research. When he's discredited and is kicked out of the academy, there's a very dark scene that takes place where he's about to commit suicide, and this character named Victor comes in and kind of helps him not do that, because they have this kind of kinship, which is very apparent in the game and the lore as well. So I'm really glad that they went into that dynamic, because it's a really interesting story between the two of them. They're, you know, at this point in the story, they're basically brothers, and they both need each other in many different ways, and they both have ideals that really align, and you can see that play out here. And that's a really important thing that plays out from this episode. At the same time, we have, you know, on the other side of things, back over in Zaun, you know, we have Vi, she turns herself in. We have, you know, of course, the building of these relationships, you know, the entire way through. It's just an incredibly good job at that. It also shows the foundation of, you know, Jinx and Vi, especially having these two particular skills. Vi being very good at hand-to-hand combat, and Jinx being very, very good at marksmanship, basically. And, you know, despite their flaws, whatever they may be, combat-wise, they're very good. Although Jinx hasn't really shown it in person yet, they have these kind of arcade games where she kind of shows it and kicks everyone's ass in it as a marksman. So that was really important to her development in the future. But yeah, it in this episode, you know, it shows the use of chemtech being put into play as well, because we kind of see the birth of hextech, but we also kind of see the birth of chemtech. Which is very important, because that's what's mostly utilized in the undercity of Zaun. It's, you know, basically like these biological augmentations and very nefarious kind of stuff being used, and extremely experimental, and, you know, it causes a lot of problems in the future, but certainly right now it's causing a problem for, you know, our main group, because we for the first time see these this chem monster be put into play. He creates the first person that we know, who was the guy that they beat up at the beginning. I think his name was Deckard. He kind of becomes the big bruiser, the big monster bruiser, under the reins of Silco, for all purposes of the next episode. But Vi tries to turn herself in. And instead, Vander catches wind that she was going to do that, and he goes himself. And once again, you get to see that dynamic play out, because Vander is sacrificing himself for Vi as well as the others, because he refused to give up anyone's name to the Piltover enforcers, who was basically looking for their quote-unquote pound of flesh, as put by one of the characters, that they needed for Piltover. You know, they needed to put someone in prison to make the people there happy, and so they were looking for someone to take the fall. And it ended up Vander decided it was going to be him himself, because they weren't going to stop till they got it. And he wasn't going to let any one of the kids or any one of his people go in for it except for himself. So that kind of, you know, lays the ground for this upcoming episode, the third episode, where they basically, you know, run a rescue mission to try to get him back. And on the flip side, over in Piltover, they're doing this, you know, they also run a heist to get their research back. So there's always these constant parallels going on. I really, really enjoy that. I think they do a good job with balancing these characters and making them all feel fleshed out because, you know, keep in mind, these are, you know, a bunch of, you know, there already are like five or six characters that we know from the game at this point. But at the same time, there's bunches of new characters that we're seeing. And it's amazing how well they do at keeping the growth of these characters and highlighting these important critical moments in such an interesting way that we can really kind of, you know, feel it happening in front of us. But yeah, basically, you know, during the rescue mission, this is when, you know, shit really goes down. One important moment is whenever they're going on the rescue mission, Vi does not let Powder go. And because of that, Powder has a breakdown, basically. She just wants to be useful. She wants to help, especially her sister, more so than you know, the friends that are with her, but, you know, certainly by extension, them as well. But, and she doesn't want to be alone. That's another big factor. And you can tell there is this immense emotional, like, unstableness to her because she's freaking out in her bedroom, crying, trying to just do anything to make herself useful. And then she decides to go and follow them and try to help out in any way that she can. And, you know, she uses those arcane crystals that she found earlier, you know, right at the point when things are critical, because at this point, all of you guys saw them, saw the episodes, so you know what was happening, but they were basically free at this point. You know, Vi had managed to fight off almost all of them besides the chem monster, and they managed to, although the chem monster kind of, you know, pushed her back, they managed to lock the door, and he was trying to beat down the door, and they basically got free, got Vander free, and they Clogger got a hole in the wall that they were going to hop out of, but Jinx didn't know that. She just saw them, the monster, trying to get into the door that had everyone in it. So she put out this monkey bomb, which she uses actually in the game, and it causes this gigantic explosion. And she is... interesting thing happens there. Whenever she does that, she finally, because throughout the movie you see her various inventions just not work, and she finally gets this one to work, and it causes this giant explosion, and she's blown off of the building. And as she's fallen, you see her not concerned at all, but actually happy. It's kind of this weird, you know, total disconcern for any kind of repercussion or punishment. It's just, you know, she's this kind of I don't know how to say it, this kind of hypnotic look on her face with the explosion and the grandeur of it. And the fact that she, you know, actually did something with her invention. And that really kind of helps put in play like what her priorities are and you know, basically how unstable she is and these issues that she has. And basically it ends up, that explosion ends up fucking everything up. And, you know, everyone is, you know, not dead, but like, I mean, a couple of them died. You have the side characters, which seem like they're dead at this point, Clagger and Milo. Vi is, you know, under rubble, you know, all screwed up, and, Vander managed to get up and at this point protect, them, but especially Vi, from the Chemtech monster, and he goes ham. And let me tell you what, Vander looked like a badass there. That was really important because Vander, for me, is just, he stole the show for me. He was such a fucking badass in this thing. I can't wait to see what happens with him, because we'll talk about that in a second. But really, really cool character. They did such a good job with him. But he basically goes hand to hand with this guy, and yeah, he gets his ass kicked, but he got a lot of good licks in himself. And you know, interestingly enough, he gets thrown off the side by Silco, who is, you find out, they have a story of themselves, this kind of old brothership turned awry. And he gets thrown down, you know, and to the first floor of the building and tossed onto some, you know, conveniently located chemtech. And he takes a vial and then he ends up jumping back on to save Vi at the last second from the chem monster by being a chem monster himself. And he looks like a hulking badass. But you see him also, he loses his sanity. He is out of it. He manages to retain, you know, at least a decent amount of semblance of his mind, because he keeps himself from going after Vi, which he was about to do for a second. But you see him kind of like punch his way out of, like literally start punching himself and like, stop, no, no, she's good. And then goes after the guy that he really wants to. And then he sees that actually he doesn't have time to do that. And he is going to save Vi. So he actually chooses to save Vi, grabs her, jumps off the building right as it was about to explode. And then you see him dead on the floor. And, you know, this is a really important scene because this is what causes the, you know, the inevitable strife between the two of them, between Jinx and Vi, because at this point, her friends are dead. Vi's friends are dead. The orphans died because of the explosion. Vander sacrificed himself, at least it looks like that, because Vander seemingly dies in front of her, saying, protect Powder, to Vi, basically handing off the mantle as you have to be the protector now. And Jinx comes up totally excited, just running up to her saying, did you see what happened? Like, my you know, experiment worked. You know, check it out. Or my invention worked. Check it out. And she's like, oh my God, you caused this. What in the world's wrong with you? And she realizes in this moment, now this took me a rewatch to get, but she realizes in that moment that, because Vi tells her, like, everyone's dead because of you. And in that moment, she does realize what she did, and she immediately starts to tries to take the blame off of her, as I feel like a child of her age would, saying, you know, you told me not to, you wouldn't let me come, and, you know, I didn't want to be left alone, and you left me alone, and why did you do that, and all this kind of stuff. And Vi isn't having any of it, and she punches her right in the face, which, you know, people, I don't know why, but people are getting super upset about that. But at the same time, like, I mean, she's also a child herself, and she just saw everything that she loved around her be killed by this person who was, you know, not taking it in the way that I'm sure that she would have liked. So, you know, Vi runs away, and, you know, Powder's left alone, and Silco is somehow still alive after all this, but he comes up as well of all of his grunts. And he comes up, and for some reason, this is the only issue that I have with this entire show, is that she runs up to him and then hugs him. You know, it looks like for comfort because she's so just distraught that she would, you know, hug anyone at that point, I guess. But it still seems very odd to me that that person is the one that she would run to because she clearly saw that he was trying to kill everyone. So I didn't really get that part. Like, I wish that it would have just been like he found her alone from what looked like Vi abandoned her, because Vi was about to go back and help her. But then she herself got snagged by one of the enforcers, which we'll learn more about in the next arc. But yeah, so I wish that they would have just, you know, walked up on her when she was alone and kind of forcefully taken her. And then, you know, she kind of, you know, has her brainwashed thing happen whenever she's under, you know, their rule at that point for what looks like a very long time. And she goes under experiments of her own and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, that's the only issue that I really had, but it's really interesting, you know, to see that play out, because they did such a good job of laying the groundwork for that kind of betrayal to feel real. And that sting that, although objectively you can look at and say both of these reactions aren't great, but in the moment with, you know, these kind of, you know, underdeveloped attitudes and perspectives on these scenarios that no kid should have to deal with, seeing them react is a very interesting thing, and it was very powerful in its own way. So yeah, I really loved the way that they kind of broke that. that relationship between them very quickly, and it caused that rift. On the flip side of things, we have Victor and Jace. There we go. Sorry, I've been talking for so long now. We have Victor and Jace trying to handle things with their own. You know, they end up basically, there's not too much to really say here. Basically, they end up, you know, working against the clock was against them because, you know, people were after them to try to get them to stop, headed up by Heimerdinger. But they actually managed to make it work at the last second and stabilize this thing that they thought, that everyone thought that they would not be able to do. And it birthed basically the new era of, you know, arcane and technology known as Hextech. And that is something that is now it's foundation in Piltover, basically. Like that is their thing, is Hextech technology. So, it kind of, the relationship between them you see during that time, I'm not going to go in depth on it, is just, it's fostered, and you see that they have these goals together. And you see them celebrate, you know, this achievement that they finally had together. That's going to, you know, they know, bring them up in this world that's so polluted with the social hierarchy that they have. So there's a lot to take in there. And one of the members of the council really helped them do that, actually, which is something that you wouldn't have expected. But you could tell that she's basically the antithesis of Heimerdinger. You know, Heimerdinger doesn't want this to happen, but she, on the other hand, she kind of the same outlook as Victor and Jace, where she says, you know, basically progress on all fronts, no matter what. Laying that foundation, that groundwork is really important. And they did a really good job of it. I can't say enough of, I know this has been me babbling for a while, but I really just can't say enough good things about this show. Everything that they did was to perfection. Everything that they expressed and wanted us to know was just done to the nines. I just quickly want to go over some side characters that they introduced as well that are related to characters. So we have Twitch. You know, that was actually what we're all thinking is the mouse that was, the rat, I should say, that was experimented on at the very beginning with the Chemtech. We're all pretty sure that's Twitch. That's the beginning of Twitch, which is a really fun character. He's actually one of my mains for ADC, so I'm really excited to see him potentially come into play. I don't think it'll be this episode, but we'll have to, this season, but we'll have to see. I think it was more of a tease than anything else. Caitlin is also there. She's in Piltover, and you actually get to see her a good bit. I didn't include her because, like, I don't want to go in depth on her yet. I think we're going to see a lot more of her on the next arc, but she's there. She was actually part of the family that were the patrons of Jace, basically housing Jace while he was in the academy, and she's a member of a noble family, and so she is very important to the story. She's a main player later on. And so we're definitely going to see a lot more to do with her. Warwick. Now, this is the important one. Vander. It looks like there is a lot of things tying Vander to Warwick, which is a super cool character from League of Legends and a badass. But basically, he's this monster. And, you know, we'll see what happens with him because it looks like he dies. But I have a feeling he's going to be experimented on and become Warwick. There's a lot of ties very specifically to him from his own lore and character reactions in game. If you have two specific characters near each other, they'll say certain things that deal with each other's relationships specifically. And he has a lot to say to Jinx or Vi specifically. And so I'm like 95% positive that he's Warwick, which is really, really interesting. Ryze is another one. Potentially, he is the wizard that we saw that saved Jace and, or I should say, the magician, whatever you want to call it, that saved Jace and his mom. I'm not 100% convinced on that one. That's the only one I'm not really like really sure of, because although it had like this runic teleport, which is a signature move of his, it also had this weird like celestial Targonian aspect to it. So I think it's actually just a new character that they'll probably have release in the game and, you know, create their own lore for through the series. But that's really important. Singed. He is the actually, he's the, how should I say, the scientist that was under Silco's command. You see him actually become technically Singed whenever the explosion from the Hex Crystal at the end there went over and like blew his face off, it looked like. So that's actually Singed. He's a character in the game as well, and he's one of the big players as far as like he's the mad scientist behind a lot of the really shitty stuff that happens later on. And then, of course, we have Echo, which we saw blatantly Echo. Echo's an awesome character. He has basically like this time travel ability. So hopefully we'll get to see some of that in the future. I have no idea what is they're keeping canon, what they're not keeping canon. But it seems like a lot of this, minus some timeline issues, seems very high fidelity to the series itself. It's just a few timeline issues as far as like when Hextech and Chemtech came into play in the lore versus this show. In the lore, it came in a lot earlier, but, you know, that stuff isn't super important. You can easily kind of retcon that. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, either way, really excited for the next three episodes. Can't wait to talk about them. I've already talked for hours literally before this with several of my friends. So we've had a good time dissecting all of this stuff. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, that pretty much wraps up for this episode. I know this one was a longer one. I'm sorry. It's supposed to be shorter. For typical movies and episodes, I'll be doing them one at a time. But for these, it'll be three at a time, just to make things a little easier since that's how they're releasing. So that's pretty much it for this episode. Thank you all so much for listening in. Really, really, really appreciate it. Don't forget to like and subscribe and leave those 5-star reviews on Apple Podcast if at all possible. Really, really appreciate it. Leave me feedback also. Join the Discord if you want. Discord.me/ANR. You can join in there. You can talk to me, tag me. You know, just go to the role selection area and click whatever areas interest you, and you can tag me in any of those. But yeah, make sure to check that out. You know, we are eventually going to be making this into like a TikTok version of it to make it easily digestible. So we'll do that. We're looking into how to do that exactly, but we will. But yeah, that's pretty much it for now. So thank you all so much for joining us. This has been Click or Skip, and we'll see you next time.